Welcome to Nintendo Main, Episode 9, our Christmas slash end of the year special, with myself, one of your hosts, Trey Johnson, and
hey, it's Jeremy Mikowski here.
Yeah, how are you doing? Is you enjoying your holidays?
Oh yeah, man! I've been enjoying my holidays. I've had time off work, so I can play a bunch of games. It's about what my holidays have consisted of: eating and games.
Do you have your skill yet on Xenoblade?
Man, I got my skill.
You did? I'm like a level 25 maybe, I think, now.
Okay.
Trying to get there. I haven't played it. I mean, I've been running around for Christmas stuff, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to play it, but I'm trying to.
Yeah, I remember on the first episode that we talked about Xenoblade, I was like, oh yeah, I've got two skills or something like that. And I was kind of joking, but I actually have four skills. I own four skills.
You can get more than one?
Oh yeah, you can buy a bunch of them.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it seems like I have a ton of money on that. I could easily buy a couple skills. Because I don't really use money for anything, you know?
You don't need to. You can sell almost everything you collect, because you can always buy back monster drops and
yeah.
With your reward tickets.
Yeah, I haven't even really sold anything. I shopped in the shopping district or whatever for a while, and
yeah.
I didn't really find anything that was, like, it seems like the stuff I get on the battlefield is better, but even that stuff I don't use that much, you know, as far as, like, changing equipment goes.
Right, you'll get a really nice piece of equipment every once in a while, and you'll just stick with that, upgrade it, and that's kind of how the game works, so. You're usually going to find the good stuff by wandering around, or just by fighting.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I just got the ability to fly, so. The game's just kind of changed a lot.
Oh, you don't get, you don't automatically get that?
No, you have to work for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been looking forward to that because it's, you know, I'm tired of climbing mountains and all that. I mean, it's fun, but some of them are hard to get through.
Well, no pun intended, but it really changes the scale of everything.
Yeah. The skull scale.
It really does because you run into bad guys. It's awesome.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, there was huge bad guys before, but you can actually, like, fight them now. Right? Like, you still, like, level up, right? Even though you're in the scale, like, your guys still level up the same way?
Yeah.
Or does your scale have a separate level that levels up? I don't know.
It levels up with you, and it, I don't think it levels up on its own. Like, it levels up as your level goes up, but then you can also do stuff with how you equip your skill, so you can upgrade it that way.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to get there. How many chapters do you have to do? I think I finished chapter 5 was the last thing I did.
Okay, well, after chapter 6, you can get your skill.
Oh, okay. Because I forget what, there's something that I didn't do, I think, that I need to do for 6, or maybe I didn't finish 5, I don't remember. I don't remember where exactly I'm at, but yeah, I was hoping for that scale sometime.
You're close to it, man.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're real close.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, get the Xenoblade out of the way in the front. Well, we might talk about it some more later, but
all right.
But yeah, did you get any cool Christmas video game stuff?
I got some pretty sweet Super Mario Brothers socks from my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
That's probably about it for the video games. Mostly, I just bought my own games when I've been getting games recently.
Have you gotten anything new?
No. I haven't bought anything since Xenogears. I bought a couple Game Boy games for my sisters for Christmas.
Yeah. There was like a couple sales on the eShop that I saw. I bought from my girlfriend's brother. He sent us an eShop card for Christmas, and I ended up getting I got Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate with it because it was on sale for like $13.
Oh, cool! The Wii U eShop,
yeah, the Wii U one. because I don't know, people love those Monster Hunter games, so I was trying to figure one out. You know, so I figured I'd get that one because it's the cheapest, and I still haven't quite figured out the online for it. I mean, there's still a community, I guess. There's still people on there.
Yeah, but, I've heard that was an active community.
But I don't know. Yeah, I was gonna try to. I've been trying to mess around with that. There's some, like, when you start the game, you can choose whether to have it like classic, you know, where all the heads up, where all the HUD stuff is on the screen, or dynamic, where it's all on the pad. And I just choose the dynamic one, but I can't figure out how to put it back on the screen, like when I'm trying to play off the gamepad. So there's like some weird stuff with that. And you have to go into the options at the very beginning of the game to put it on the gamepad. Like, it's hard. You can't just like do it like in, you know, you can't just like hit minus or something like that. It doesn't work like that. So you have to either change the options like on the screen while you're playing it, or like do it before you start to put it all on the gamepad. But it still like just shows, you know, it doesn't show like my health or the map or anything. So it's kind of really, really hard to play like that without all the heads up stuff on it. So I've been trying to play it on the pad, but it's not really working that well. So, you know.
Well, it's also a 3DS game, and they had two screens there to work with.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was, I think it was originally a Wii game. Like, it was Monster Hunter Tri was originally a Wii game, and then Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate was on 3DS and Wii U. So, I mean, it was originally, they kind of, like, adapted it from that to that. Okay. But the 3DS one is like $13 too, and they're cross. They're like the only, well, they're one, not the only, but they're. I mean, it's a cross save game, which is pretty cool. Like, you can switch, you can put your, you know, you can have your game go between systems. If you have it on 3DS and Wii U, you can transfer your save and play it on whichever one you want, which is pretty cool.
Maybe a sign of things to come with the NX.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the few games they did that with. I think they did it with, like, wasn't, like, Tipping Stars like that? Or that one was a cross-buy. I don't know if it had a cross-save. So I don't know if there's a whole lot of them that have cross-saves. But that one did in particular. I mean, you still had to buy it twice. But with it on sale, you could buy both of them for, like, less than the price of a new game. I mean, if you wanted to get that crazy. Since they're both, like, $13, you could get both of them for $26. If you really wanted to play both ways.
Are they on sale right now?
Yeah, I think they're on sale till Friday, till like the 1st of January.
Oh, excellent. I might check that out.
Yeah. I know that the Monster Hunter Tri had voice chat on it, the Wii one, but I don't know if the Wii U one does, because I haven't played with anybody online yet. But I went to like the online community. There's like two different villages. There's like your single village, and then there's like a multiplayer village. And I went to the village and nobody was there. So there's like a thing where you can like that you can arm wrestle people, and I was just sitting there with my arm out with nobody there. It was pretty funny because there's nobody in the multiplayer world. But I'm not sure if I set up the rooms right and all that. But yeah, it's pretty cheap. It's like there's a Capcom sale, and all that stuff was marked down. But that was like the cheapest I've ever seen that game, so I figured I'd get it for that.
Well, and you have all that extra memory on your.
Yeah.
External drive.
Yeah, I think it's only like 6 gigs. I think it's not that much. But I still only have like 30 gigs. But still, that's better than. I mean, that's about what you get with it, you know. What it comes with right out the gate.
So, do you have any update on your Nintendo 64? Is it still dead?
Yeah, it's still dead. I haven't tried it. I did get. I didn't want to forget to mention, but I did get. I got Mario Paint for Super Nintendo from my girlfriend, also.
Oh, excellent!
As a gift, so it's a yeah. It's there's a lot of it's a little yeah. It's a lot of stuff to do in there. it's only
an extremely quirky game.
It's very quirky, but it's tough. You know, it's like overwhelming almost. It's hard to draw. Animations with a mouse, But the mouse, yeah. The mouse still works. You know, came with the mouse and the mouse pad. It didn't come with that cleaning kit that I heard was so great. Did you have the, you know, the mouse ball cleaning kit that it came with? Like, if you bought it new?
No, I never did. We got it used, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you played around with it, right?
Oh yeah, we had it on the Super Nintendo when I was growing up. I think we may have gotten that game when we got the Super Nintendo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, there's a lot of, I don't know how much time you put into it, but Super Mario Maker makes a lot of references to that game.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, yeah, it's very much like, yeah, the undo dog's there and like the robot and like the music's the same and the guy's doing the sit-ups
and the rocket.
Yeah, and the rocket and I think I said undo dog already, but there's like the bird also for the special, for the sound effects. The yep. Parrot, right? Yeah. Basically everything from that came from that game, which is cool. It's a nice, as for that, at least you get to see some of the stuff that brought about that, you know, that they brought back later for Super Mario Maker. Have you played any of the new stuff for that?
Yeah, additions? I've been playing around with it the past few days, especially just messing around with the new stuff. It's pretty fun, and I really like they did officially launch the bookmark site.
Yeah, I played
really it. That works. It works very well.
Yeah, I played around with that too. It's I found some interesting stuff on it, so that's cool.
What's it called? Portal? Super Mario Maker Portal or something like that?
It's called a bookmark, I think.
Oh, it is called bookmark, alright.
Super Mario Maker bookmark.
A little pro tip for anybody that has an Android phone. I just, I saved the actual hyperlink to the website as a link on my home screen. And so it shows up like an app. It's like a little icon that is Mario's base and everything.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I haven't looked.
So I can just click it and open it up whenever. It works really well.
Yeah, I haven't looked. I haven't looked for an app for it, but I don't think there is. I don't think there is one yet.
No, but I don't think there is. That's the closest you're going to get.
But it's pretty. Bookmark. Yeah, I just. There's no. There's like no thing for shooter levels or anything like that. But I think I set the theme for quirky, or no, not quirky, gimmick.
And gimmick,
And I found a lot of really cool stuff under that. Like, you know.
Yeah, and I think gimmick may be stuff that eventually might have its own category. You know, it's like something that may not be one off. It seems like it is, and then if enough people imitate it, or it seems to be an interesting gameplay style or mechanic, that it could become its own genre. I think shooter will probably eventually be a genre because of this clown car, this fire clown car.
Yeah, the shoot 'em up. I played like one shooter level that I found in the gimmicks tab, which is, or the, you know, category, the gimmicks category, and it's cool. I mean, that's, yeah, I haven't, but that was like right after they started it, so I'm sure there's more now. But yeah, gimmick was where I found this one level that has like a moving wall that you have to wall jump off of through the whole thing, which is pretty cool. It's basically like a really tall bullet bill cannon
on a cloud.
Yeah, did you find that one?
Yeah
I thought that one was cool.
It's sort of supposed to be like Flappy Bird a little bit,
I guess. Yeah, well, it's called a wall jumps should work instead of like wall jumps will work from the Mario 64. That was one of the challenges, was wall jumps will work. It's either should work or could work, but yeah, that one, I like that one. I thought that one was cool. I even commented on it and said it was cool. I didn't think of it being like Flappy Bird because I never really played that game. I played it
I played a level habit with the mechanic you mentioned, the tall bullet bill launcher on top of a cloud.
Yeah.
And that level was presented as like Flappy Mario or something.
Oh, okay.
So you have to stick to the walls, it moves through, and wall jump up it as it goes.
Yeah, that's how this one was too. So I guess it's kind of like that, but I don't know. I thought it was fun. It's cool for that. I just like the wall, because I like the wall jump. I like that I could like wall jump through the whole thing.
But I think I got inspired. I think I'm I started working on a new level, and I haven't made a new level in a long time, so...
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll have a new level to post soon. Because I really like this clown car. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I did be an addition to the junkyard, clown car junkyard. Maybe it's towards the end you could do a different one where you get to ride it, get to ride it out, get to grab it and like escape, or you could make like escape from clown car junkyard or something where you got to blow through the walls.
So what's really cool with the fire clown car is if you equip yourself with the, I'm saying equip because I've been playing so much Xenoblade. Mm. If you get the shoe, it just has to be the big shoe. Then you get in from the shoe, then you get into the fire clown car. You'll get the giant clown car, and then you shoot giant fireballs.
I thought that was with the power up, the giant mushroom power up or whatever with the amiibo, you know.
Maybe that works too, but
because there's a lot, yeah.
The big shoe, so yeah. You have to kill the Goomba, get into the big shoe. And then get into the fire clown car, you'll shoot the big fireballs.
Oh, okay. Because I did it where it's even bigger and you shoot like three at a time if you charge it. Like with the...
That's the way this works. And then if you're at Fire Mario in the clown car, it'll shoot the three.
Sure. And what was it? And it turns into Peach's face, right? The clown car does? It turns into Peach car? When it's super big, it does. Like when it gets to like the 8-bit amiibo, you know, where like the screen curves and all that, it turns into Peach.
I actually don't have that mushroom yet.
No, I mean it was in somebody's level that I played. That's how I saw it.
Oh, okay.
They had it like at the end. There was a big boss battle, and you got that thing where it made you giant, and everything's like blurry, and it curves the screen, and all of them change into Peach's face, like the clown cars do. They turn into Peach cars, which is weird because I was fighting like Baby Bowser in one, and he had a Peach car also. So, yeah.
Oh, and he was coming after you aggressive, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that adds a lot of new mechanics, and I'm excited to see what people do with it, because, you know, it's not something that was in... I mean, I know you could never ride a clown car anyway in the Mario games, but I think I'm kind of excited to see them add a new element that hasn't been in the games, you know, like that, because it lets people get creative and do something new that, you know, you haven't seen before.
Sure.
Which people have been doing with existing elements, but... I like these extra things because they still feel, you know, they don't feel out of place in the Mario world.
No, yeah, yeah, just more stuff for them to add. I saw something online saying that Japan, like I watched a Japan video of Excitebike biker sprite and a Birdo sprite as well that were going to get added soon. And there's some more levels. Like I played a Paper Mario and Luigi level.
Yeah, where you get the three guys and they're walking at once.
Yeah, it's like they did a similar thing with the Triforce Heroes.
Yep.
But yeah. So yeah. That's the Christmas stuff, I guess. Is there any particular Christmas memories that you wanted to mention on since we're still in the holiday stuff? From your past. I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, some sort of Mario 3 thing or any of that, you know, any of the golden year NES stuff, I'm sure.
Well, I guess I was thinking on it, and it happened around Christmas. I think it actually happened a little bit before Christmas, but it would have been 1991. I was 9. And it was kind of late at night, I think. If I remember correctly, it was either the weekend or Christmas break had started in school, but, you know, I know we didn't have to get up early the next day, but my parents sent us to bed, and at the time, we lived in a two-story house, so we went upstairs And, like, I went upstairs to take a shower or whatever, get ready for bed. And my brother did the same thing. He was, like, 4, I think. So we were getting ready to go to bed. Then my mom called us back downstairs. And we're just like, what? Like, I thought we were supposed to go to bed. And we walked downstairs, and I just remember it. It was really cool because the way the TV was set up, it was on the wall that we would have been coming through the room to, you know what I mean? So the light of the TV was just shining on my dad's face, and he had the Duck Hunt gun, and he was shooting it at the screen.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So that's when we got our Nintendo. So we go downstairs, and we're really excited. My dad's shooting ducks. And I was just excited because I'm like, I know this cartridge has Mario on it. Like, yeah. I get to play Mario, and I was really, really excited about that. Because I had played Mario, like, a few months before that. Well, because we had lived in California, in Sacramento, up until a few months before then. And I'd gone to my friend's house, and he's like, hey, you gotta come play my Nintendo. I have Ninja Turtles. And so, in my head, I thought it was gonna be, like, the arcade game.
Sure.
I'm really excited to go play the Ninja Turtles arcade game.
But it wasn't.
And I went to his house, and no, it was the first Ninja Turtles Nintendo game.
Yeah.
But that was the first time I played Mario, though, because he's like, well, I have this other game, Mario, that came with the Nintendo, and that's when I got to where I really liked, you know, and that's the game that I wanted to play. So it was really exciting to see my dad playing Duck Hunt, not because of Duck Hunt, but because I knew that Mario was on there. So I think that was my best Christmas memory, because Christmas was not that long after that. We got like 4 or 5 games, I think, for Christmas that year. So it was just like the mother load. Got the system a little bit early. Got that, you know, that cool surprise reveal. So that was a good Christmas memory for me.
Sure. I remember getting the NES for Christmas, and we set up a TV in the living room and played it with my sisters. But my personal favorite, like, video game Christmas was the 64, because that was, I remember that was huge, and that was, like, almost, it was so hard to find, and like, my friend, like, one of my good friends in high school, he was working at Kmart at the time, and he was able to track one down for me, and my mom, like, talked to him about it, and that was how we ended up getting that 64, but, I got that, and Mario, and I think it was. I remember I knew that I was getting it, so I bought like Mortal Kombat Trilogy like before Christmas, so I could have it on the day. But getting that 64 and just sitting downstairs and playing Super Mario 64. Like, I'd played it before. Like, I played it at Toys R Us, and I rented it for a little bit back when you could rent systems. I rented a 64 before that, just to try it out. But I don't know. That game blew my mind when it came out. So that was, like, my favorite video game Christmas, was getting a 64 and Super Mario 64. And basically all I wanted to do was just play that game forever until it was done, you know, because it was so, because, like, I don't know, felt like the first, I guess it was the first, like, 3D platformer that I ever played and probably, you know, ever was.
That game just, like, made you feel kind of giddy because you're really experiencing something for the first time that you kind of hoped you would someday experience. Like, when you played games, you're like, I really hope that one day this is in 3D and I'm running around like it's the real world. And I think Mario really kind of nailed that feeling the first time.
Sure. I remember when I saw that on 64, I was like, because you remember when the Super Nintendo came out and, like, everything, you know, like, they had the 2D, they had the 2D stuff, but they had, like, the backgrounds looked better and all that, and everything was kind of like that. Like, a lot of games were, you know, looked like 2D with that sprite and all that. When I saw Super Mario 64, I'm like, oh, now every game is going to look like that on 64. And it, well, didn't really happen like that. So I thought everybody was going to follow suit, and there was just going to be a ton of 3D games like that. But, you know.
It was just another one of those cases where Nintendo, like, knew their hardware really well.
And nobody else did.
So they developed well for it, right?
Sure. Well, I mean, they had, it was, 64 was kind of like, wasn't too unlike, like, the Wii U days now, you know, with, like, less releases, but the releases that come out are really good, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could have been, I mean, the Wii U could be even less than that, I don't know. But there were some major delays in 64, And because it was like the big parting between like the cartridge and the you know, discs, it seemed like everybody kind of went the way of PlayStation for the, you know, for the CD-ROMs and all that. Because it was more expensive to develop for cartridges and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, there was actually demos of, you know, there are videos to see. Maybe, I don't know if there were demos, but there are videos of a Final Fantasy running on Nintendo 64. You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII is a, yeah, I saw that, the original Final Fantasy VII. Speaking of Final Fantasy VII, I ended up getting Cloud for Smash Brothers.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, I was at my sister's house and we were playing Smash Brothers, and I'm like, I'm just gonna buy Cloud right now, you know, because we're playing Smash Brothers, and he's cool. Yeah. Like he's got a cool level set. I really like his level. He has a good move set, but his level's cool.
What's the level?
It's like Midgar. It's from Final Fantasy VII. But there's like stuff worked into it where you collect these little materia things, and it summons like some of the gods from the game, and they'll come and mess up the, you know, they'll fight like the other opponents that don't get the materia bit,
or like they'll Ifrit and
yeah
stuff like that.
Yeah, like those.
Okay.
There's like one guy who like splits the level in half. There's another guy who, like, you know, makes like the stuff you stand on like electric, so it shocks you when you're on it. And there's like a one that like where there's a big tidal wave that comes up over the level. So like there's all these different things that happen, and whoever gets the materia is immune, and everybody else will get attacked by it. But it's a pretty cool, like, you know, addition to it, other than it just being a level, you know.
A little mini game within the level.
Sure. Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. Like I was able to win easily because I knew how to grab the materia pieces and all that. But yeah, he's cool. He looks good, you know. I didn't go for like the square outfits, the Mii outfits and all that, but I just went for it just to get him. And yeah, he looks good. He plays well, and his level's really cool. So, got to check that out.
I'll have to check that out. So did you play Smash Brothers with your whole family on the holidays or around the holidays?
I was at my sister's house. Like we went to my sister's house for Christmas like the week early, and my mom, my stepdad came up there, and I stayed at my sister's house, but we didn't really play any games until like my mom left. So it was just like, it's basically just me and my brother-in-law and my niece are the ones that play games.
Still though, that's cool.
So we played Smash Brothers. I mean, we played like, you know, I showed him some Xenoblade, and we played some like Bayonetta 2, and we played a lot of Mario 3D World, because like all four of us could play that.
Yeah.
Because like him and my niece and Jess, we would all play four player on that. So, you know, that game's really cool.
It's great when people play games together on the holidays. I like that.
Yeah, so we played. I mean, we played pretty much most of the whole time. So, I just kind of gave them a view of what was on there. Like we played Kart for a little bit, but yeah, we played 3D World the most. We played some Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze for a little bit also. But yeah, I gave him the look at Xenoblade. He really likes Xenoblade.
Do they have a Wii U?
No, they don't have one. He has a PS3 and a PS4.
Okay.
But I was like we were just playing that, so yeah. But so that was our Christmas experience there. I don't know, it's the end of the year in a couple days. Have you thought about like favorite year stuff from 2015? It seems like I don't know, a lot of stuff got delayed that I thought was going to come out this year for games.
Yeah, but this year definitely had some pretty good games, but those really big releases, namely Zelda and Star Fox, that we thought were going to happen this year.
Yeah,
you know, I think everybody kind of thought in their heart that Zelda wasn't going to happen, but Star Fox was kind of a surprise. It really seemed like it was going to happen this year.
Yeah, I thought Star Fox would still happen. And it's set for, like, April now, I think, right? Yeah. So I thought it'd be earlier on that, but whatever.
But we've had some pretty solid games this year still. And I went back and I looked through release dates. So, you know, it gets a little blurry, like, games that came out late last year. And maybe I didn't download until, you know, this year. So I wanted to make sure that I was just including the ones that were released in 2015.
Yeah, so, sure.
I went through and I definitely came up with a fairly solid top five, I think. I expect you did too.
Yeah, I looked through some stuff. Yeah, I was trying to remember, like, what. Because I think, I guess, the way that I looked at it, the way it was easy for me to figure it out, is if it pretty much if it had any sort of amiibo support on it, it was probably this year. Because the amiibos launched at the end of last year.
Oh, good point.
So I kind of looked at it like that, because I was trying to figure out, I was like, did Mario Party 10 come out this year? And I was like, oh, well, it had to, because it has, like, that amiibo party and all that on there.
Right, well, I was thinking something similar for Captain Toad that came out late last year.
Oh, yeah, Captain Toad came out. Yeah, Captain Toad was the end of the year.
So I can't include that, but that's a good game. That's a really good game.
Well, that, yeah. The amiibo stuff for that, they added later, I think.
Right.
Like, after, you know.
Where
you can do the toad hunting and all that. I think that was an update.
Same with Smash Brothers. I mean, that all got added later.
Well, yeah. Well, the Amiibos launched with Smash Brothers, but that came out in, like, November. That was their big game.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
They launched with Smash Brothers, and then the Amiibos kept going. I don't know. Yeah, so this year was, like, the year of Amiibo. Like, I guess they were gone for a really long time, and now they're back and everywhere. I mean, they've pretty much, it seems like it's kind of simmered down a lot more than what it was, you know, like people really trying to find them and collect them and all that. I see more of them, but not, you know, there's still ones I've never seen.
Yeah, and there's just so many, though. There's so many different ones now that as they re-release them, you're seeing new stuff everywhere you go.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. It just kind of proves that they went strong this year. There's a lot of different amiibos. More to be released yet. More to be announced, I'm sure, in the coming months.
So what do you think is the best, like, amiibo add-on thing for this year? Since this has been the year of amiibo, I guess. Like, the best functionality so far. I mean, I thought the Splatoon thing was pretty cool, which Splatoon's on my list for best games, but we'll get into that later. But, I mean, how they unlocked, like, more challenges. They were basically kind of like DLC in the form of a toy, you know. Seemed to be the only one that actually, like, did a specific thing, you know. Instead of, like, an extra, you know, outfit or whatever. I mean, what do you think?
I didn't really play Splatoon, so the best functionality I got was Mario Maker. So
the costumes. Yeah, I mean that's like what Woolly World has too. Super Mario Maker and Yoshi's Woolly World have the amiibo scan for skins, you know. But I don't know. You actually got like more levels to play on Splatoon. So I thought that was cool. I mean, there are variations of the levels that are already on there, but. But you can unlock new stuff for the game through that, you know. And Splatoon is something you should get in case you haven't. I think that's probably my number one game of the year from them, I think. Just because of, like, how, you know, how much it's, just how much of a living game it is, and they keep adding stuff to it for free, you know. It's really impressed me in that way. You know, just how they keep updating it constantly. Like, I just got my Wii U gamepad just turned on today and told me about the new level. There's a new level on it today, you know, so they're still adding stuff. Like, I remember when it came out, it seemed kind of, I don't know, some people thought it was, like, incomplete. And they just kept adding stuff every week until it was like, well, I don't, you know, keep adding stuff
and
keep giving you reasons to come back to it, yeah. I mean, that's why I think it's, like, you know, why it probably got voted to be the best shooter is because it's, they keep building on it to make it, like, interesting, you know, so people aren't getting bored with it, I guess. Even though I haven't played it in a while, but I played it longer than I have, like, any other online shooter. So that's saying something, because I don't really like those games, you know?
I plan on getting that game eventually.
It's very cool. I mean, I think it's up there. I mean, for my, yeah, it's in my list. It's definitely the most unexpected, like, hit of the year for me. Like, because it just kind of came out of nowhere. But I think that's probably the one, the game of the year on Nintendo side for me was Splatoon. Just how impressed I am about with the update stuff. And they're doing that with Super Mario Maker 2, but they haven't done it as much. I mean, they've probably added, like, 5-6 levels at least since it came up. But not to mention, like, 3 other modes and, like, a whole bunch of other weapons and, you know, DLC stuff. You know, stuff that they promised from the beginning, they've added more stuff other than that. And even, like, different weapon types they've added, you know, that I didn't even expect. So it's been cool. Like the bucket.
I don't think you could ever complain that a game was incomplete if all the stuff they add is free.
Yeah, I mean,
because by the end, you have a beyond complete game. You have a game that's...
Well, sure.
Sounds like that they're packing it full of awesome stuff.
Yeah. I guess if you bought it now, you would get everything. I wonder if it would, like, take you forever to start it. Because whenever you start it, and, like, something's been added since you played last, those, like, the Squid Sisters will tell you whatever was added since you played. So I guess if you got it now and you've never gotten anything that added, is it going to take, like, an hour for them to, like, tell you everything that's on there? Like, at the very beginning? Because I don't think you can skip through all of it.
So it's all...
No, I think it should just update on its own. Like, I didn't download anything from the eShop. I mean, you shouldn't have to if there's not a transaction, right?
But that's what I mean, so it's like, but it's in-game for you to update it. You have to talk to somebody.
Well, they just, when you start the game, you just go straight to them and they just tell you what's going on. The Squid Sisters do.
An hour of them, like, and then this got added.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Because when you start the game, there'll be a free update, obviously. It'll be a big update. It'll be like a 2-gig update, you know, because of stuff that they've added. But then when you get there, they'll be like, oh yeah, the levels that we're playing now are these, and the modes are this. They normally do that, but they also tell you, like, what all the new weapons and stuff are. So if you never played it, I guess you'll just get bombarded with that at the beginning of the game. They're being like, oh yeah, there's this weapon, and there's this weapon, and this other weapon, and there's like 30 weapons that they've added, you know. So I guess that would take a while, but it's pretty cool.
I'm sure it's worth it.
I know, my mom texted me and said that she set up her Wii, finally, a Wii U, and the kids were playing it. I wanted to ask her if they played Splatoon, because that seems to be a hit among the kids. Like, my nephew, like, absolutely loves that game. Like, he plays the crap out of it. And now Super Mario Maker 2, also, he plays that. But he always wanted to play Splatoon whenever I see him. He wanted me to help him get by some of the bosses and the first player stuff and just, you know, watch him play the online stuff or whatever. But yeah, he thinks that game's great. It's like Splatoon and Minecraft. Those are his big games.
Good.
Yeah.
How old's your nephew?
Oh. I don't know. He's young. I mean, he's got to be like, I don't know, like a 6 or 7, I would guess. About,
nice.
But he's
like
young. Yeah, but he's young. Maybe 8. I don't know. Actually, I think he's more like 5 or 6. That's what I'd say. But yeah, no, he likes Splatoon. But yeah. So let's. Do you want to get into the top five then? Did you?
Sure.
You didn't say yours yet, right? I think that. I mean,
I haven't said my game of the year yet. No, I haven't.
Well, yeah. I think. I don't know. I kind of put together a list based on not really in a particular order. I mean, I would say like Splatoon for sure, which I think is probably my number one. Super Mario Maker, Xenoblade, Majora's Mask, and I don't know. I was kind of divided on a fifth one. I have a couple. I have like three that could all be the fifth one. So I was thinking like either basically Triforce Heroes, Yoshi's Woolly World, or like the re-release of Xenoblade on 3DS. Even though it was a re-release, it came out this year, and I never played that original one. So those are all kind of tied for fifth, if that works, you know.
That works. I mean, I think there are some really strong releases. A lot of games that were kind of like, these are good games, but these other ones are just so much better.
Yeah.
So I'd have, my top game is Mario Maker, and that's the one I looked at my playtime, and Xenoblade's rapidly overtaking it, but it was the game I put the most time into this year.
Yeah, I haven't looked at my Xenoblade playtime yet, but it's gotta be at least like 30 hours by now, maybe more. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm way beyond that.
Yeah.
But one thing I really liked about Mario Maker, and going back to what you were saying earlier, it really like struck a nostalgic chord because, you know, obviously it's Mario. And you can use all those different aesthetics from the past Mario games. But it also harkens back to Mario Paint, which is a game I played a lot. And so I really like all the references to Mario Paint within it. So
sure.
To me, it just had a lot of magic to it. Like the sound effects, I know some people complained about sound effects. I like the sound effects okay.
Oh, yeah, it depends on how you use them, I guess. If you like litter the level with all of them.
Sound effects of the interface as you use it.
Oh, yeah.
Like did you lay down blocks and stuff, it always says the name. And
it plays the music. The I thought that was cool, you know.
I liked it. I just like the whole thing, and I love how seamless everything is within the game. You could stop making your level and play some levels to then go back to making your level. And I like that it asks you to complete the level in order to upload it. That's a really nice little safeguard, you know, to make sure all levels can be beaten. And then they added all the new DLC. And then the bookmark site and all that stuff, like, together, it's got a real magic to it that I really like. So that's my game of the year.
Sure. I mean, it's up there. It's up there for me. I mean, I'd put it like number two, I guess. I don't know. I mean, give it some more time. I was just really impressed by, you know, Splatoon was a game that I wasn't really interested in at all, and it ended up being one that I played a lot more than I thought I would. And that I just like how their dedication to the fan base and all that, and all the stuff they've added to it. And Super Mario Maker's getting there too. It's just like kind of more new, I guess. They need to add some slopes in there. We need some hills that you can slide down, you know.
The hills would be nice.
That would be a cool new thing. I like that you can save a lot more on that. I forgot to mention that in Mario Paint you can only save one thing. So you have to either like record it or I don't know, write down how you did it.
Yeah, you can make stamps. Stamps are important in Mario Paint.
You can make stamps?
Yeah, so you make stamps that are the sprite. If you want to make like a character and animate a character, you can use the stamps to, like, make that character. You can use multiple stamps even to build that character. But it makes it a lot easier to do frame-by-frame animations.
The character moving sure.
around and stuff.
Yeah.
So once you, like, make those, then you can do, like, a lot. But it's like you said, you can only save one. So save it onto your VCR. You can run it through your VCR and tape it.
Yeah. I used to do that. For my broadcasting class in high school, we used to make like intros to like the high school news or whatever, and most of mine would consist of stuff I recorded off of the Super Nintendo or 64 games through the VHS. Like I had a tape somewhere that had like every Mortal Kombat fatality on it that I recorded, or I'd like recorded myself playing games and give them to people. You know, it's like here, look at this game's cool. Here, I record myself playing it. You can watch it. You can go and watch it. You know. the YouTube before YouTube, right?
It was a Let's Play VHS edition.
Yeah, pretty much. I remember recording those. I recorded those cows saying "well done" in the Earthworm Jim, and I would use that for the broadcast news thing. But yeah, or like recording levels of from Mario Kart, or like I remember we recorded like matches from GoldenEye that we'd use and stuff like that. But yeah, good old days when it was easier to record. Well, I guess I never got into Twitch or anything like that, so. I'm sure it's easier to record stuff now than it was with the VHS, but I had everything ran through the VHS anyway, so you could just hit record and then it's good. Then you got it, you know. I don't know. But yeah.
Well, you can record music in that game. You can do a lot with it, so, I mean, you may play that game and get familiar with it and realize that would have been a great tool for your broadcast back in high school, because you could have done any, like, you
sure.
could have done like a card that said something to intro to it, and then you could have written your own music and
yeah.
done all kinds of stuff, but it sure. would require a lot of VHS tapes.
Yeah, I felt like that game like kind of like just came and went so quickly, because I remember hearing about it like maybe one time in high school, and I don't think I ever saw it anywhere, like in any stores. So, I don't know.
We just got it when I got my Super Nintendo. It came with it, I think.
Sure.
We got a used Super Nintendo, and it came with some games. And it was like Mario Paint, Star Fox, and Link to the Past, and then I think Bubsy. Those are the four games it came with.
Bubsy! I heard they're remaking that game.
No fucking way.
That's what I heard, that they're doing another Bubsy. Like for those two, for like the two people that wanted it, they're gonna make a HD version of Bubsy. I don't know why.
I actually beat the original Bubsy. I actually beat that. I don't know if I'm proud of that.
What was it?
I go back to it occasionally as an adult. I don't know how I did it.
What was it called? Isn't it like Claw's Encounter of the Fur Kind? Isn't that the
yeah? Claw,
isn't that the subtitle of Bubsy? Wow. And then Bubsy 2 is just called Bubsy 2. Like there's no. I think Bubsy 2 was the one I played that I rented. It was just like,
But he does like a one-liner like clip of like audio before each level. So like the first level and the first, I think it's called Cheese Wheels of Doom is the first level.
I think I played that.
He goes, "What could possibly go wrong?" He says that. He kind of sounds like Daffy Duck a little bit.
Oh sure.
Like pitched up a little bit. That's like his voice, but I don't know. Bubsy's all right. It's a really hard game. The mechanics are very unforgiving. There's instant death from falling too far. But somehow I beat it as a kid. So sometimes I go back to that game and I'm like, I gotta beat this again as an adult just to prove,
you know, that it wasn't that hard of a game.
But I can't beat it again. I haven't been able to beat it since I was 11, I think, is the last time I beat it. 11 or 12, probably.
I don't know if there's any games that I could beat as a kid that I can't beat now. But I know like DuckTales, like that one. I tried playing that again.
That's another one I beat, yeah.
That's one I beat as a kid, but I think I only beat it like once or twice. And it's like, and I tried to do it again and I couldn't do it, but I didn't spend as much time, you know, doing it. I think that one's on sale too. For like $5, the remix of it. I don't know. I wish the remix had a copy of the original game on it.
It would have been so easy to do. I don't know why it doesn't have that.
If it would have had the original game packed on it, then I think more people would have bought it. You know, if they would have just found a way to put it on Virtual Console or something like that. I'm sure there was some sort of deal with it, but yeah. Because when they announced that remaster, I hooked, my NES is still hooked up, but I played it, you know, I played it out in the living room. Just to, you know, see how far I could get. But you know, I feel like a lot of them is like muscle memory. Like when I was playing through those Star Wars games, I could get through those like how I used to. Pretty much, you know.
I can't. I don't have that with a lot of those old games.
I mean, some of them, it's like if it's really bad and you could still get through it, like it's how much patience you can deal with it, I guess. But,
I also think the difference back then was, like, I had four Super Nintendo games, so I play that one. Like, that's the one I hadn't beat yet or whatever. So
sure,
I
yeah.
Just, I kept playing. So I, it is muscle memory because I would get to a certain point, I would die, start all over again. But I would remember, like, what killed me before. I remember my dad beat that game first, and I watched him play it, so that helped a little bit.
Sure.
I kind of knew what to expect. And then you would learn the password. I think there may have been passwords. I don't remember.
For Bubsy?
I think there were passwords, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
There you go, Bubsy. Game of the year, actually. I forgot that. Not Mario Maker.
If that one's out. Whenever the remake of Bubsy comes out, then that'll be game of the year.
I'll go back and revise the list.
The I picked up Codename Steam with that buy two get one free, and I've just started playing around with that again. That's a pretty cool game. Like, it flew under the radar, but it came out this year. The like, you know, third person shooter turn based game. Strategy thing.
Yeah, and I only played the demo.
It's an interesting hybrid.
Sped up the enemy turn.
Yeah, that's a patch now that got added. The speeding up the enemies, which does, yeah, it's like way quicker. But I did the amiibo thing on it, and thankfully you only have to scan them once, which is cool. But like right when I started it on the second level set, I scanned Marth and Ike, and I just went in there and got killed. Because it's kind of set around people who have guns and not knives and not swords, you know. So I walked up to a guy with Marth and like killed him, and he exploded and killed me. So I was like, okay. What were you gonna say?
Oh, actually, no. You made me wonder though. So is it like a permadeath, like it would be in Fire Emblem? Like, is he gone forever when he died? When he exploded?
When the... I think in the regular game you can revive your characters for like a certain amount of coins or whatever. Or like items. But yeah, the Fire Emblem characters, when they die, they're dead for the level. But you can bring them back the next level. But you can't... Oh, okay. You can't revive them. Like within the game, you know. It would suck if that was like... It's like I scanned them both and it's like, okay, they're dead now. You don't get to play with them ever again. Like, okay.
If you buy another copy of Marth, you can
yeah.
use that.
Yeah, you can use that. And then and you're like, but I can't find Marth anywhere. I think that was my original, because I really wanted to play that game. I thought it was a really cool, like, idea when it came out. And I remember my whole beef was that I couldn't find any Fire Emblem amiibos anywhere. So I was like, I'm not getting it until I can find some amiibos for it. I think I remember that was my original... my original thought on that, and why I didn't jump on it earlier. But it's cool from what I played of it. I mean, I don't know if they'll ever return to it, because I don't know how well it sold. But it's like super comic booky. It's very like, you know, it's very Steam and weird, like this weird like fictional characters mixed with like, you know, historical people like the Abraham Lincoln's like your leader, and he you know, didn't really die. Like, he's actually a part of this CIA type team. It's an odd game, but it's fun. I've been enjoying it.
So I don't know if I ever said my full list.
Oh yeah, I think we might have got distracted off of it. Sorry. Yeah, return. I think we just talked
that's
about
okay.
Mario Maker. What else
my
do you have?
My list is a whole lot different than yours. So of course Mario Maker was number one. Then I put Xenoblade Chronicles X as number two. I think this game was a bit of it had to grow on me. Like, I liked it from the get-go, but I sort of hyped myself up for it. And you really have to, like, put some time into this game to sort of get the ball rolling, but it's number two. I mean, I put a lot of time into it.
What, Xenoblade?
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles is the second best game of this year.
Sure. If you haven't played Splatoon.
Right. Box Boy is third.
Oh, Box Boy was cool. I didn't play that enough. I think I played through like 12 levels maybe, but yeah, it was cool for what it was. I didn't get all the way through it though.
Yeah, same here. But I thought it was worth listing as a third best game. It came out early in January, I think, like, before, like, the middle. It's like, I want to say January 12th, I might be wrong, but it was really early in the year, so it barely made it to this list. But when I was reflecting over my list and looking at the time I put into games, I was like, well, I actually played this game a lot when it came out. It's a fun game. It's got a really cool gameplay mechanic of sort of morphing the shape of your character to do things, and then a really minimalistic. I sort of like it. Kind of reminded me a little bit of like Portal 2, which I don't know if that's.
Oh yeah, I play
it. Anyone that would draw, but it had a really like cool, like clean
puzzle white stuff. Lines, yeah,
black. Yeah, and but it was like a really like clean aesthetic, so it just came across really polished. And it looked great on the 3DS, so that's my third best. Fourth best, Majora's Mask 3D.
Yeah, I mentioned that one, right? I think I did. It was in my list. That one was really cool. I mean, I like Majora's Mask a lot, the game in itself. And I think they made it, I mean, you know, I've made it through the regular game. But I guess they were trying to make it a little more playable, because it is like an overwhelming game. For what it is. I don't know, did you ever finish it on 64 like the original one? I'm sure you did, right? Made it all the way through.
Yeah, I finished the 64 edition.
Yeah. But it's, I know some people who had a hard time playing it, and I guess they're trying to make it a little bit more, you know, a little more accessible. And they took out some stuff that was...
A portable game makes it more accessible.
Sure. Well, they took out some stuff that was kind of annoying, too. Like little things, like that. Like that that Deku merchant guy that will like always fly, you know, you have to watch that animation of him flying from the clock tower every time you restart the thing. They like took that out, so he just like goes straight into the thing. Like little touches like that that helps, you know, to makes it less like repetitive. You know, even though you're basically going over the same 3 days, you know, indefinitely, forever. You know, but that game was cool, and it looked really good too. I thought it looked better than the Ocarina of Time remake. I mean, they both looked good, but I thought that one looked like the polygon was count was a little bit higher, and everything just looked a little bit nicer, you know.
Well, they had they knew what they were doing a little more with the system, and obviously they knew early on once they released Ocarina of Time, people were going to want that game, so they probably started development on it real early, I would think.
Yeah, that one was an early, it was an early 3DS release, so yeah. The Ocarina.
It also was for, you know, for the new hardware, so they wanted to take advantage of the new 3DS. I don't know how much they actually did. Like, I don't know if it's graphically superior on the new 3DS, but
they do use the
new nub camera.
Yeah, the cameras, I mean, I liked having that camera thing, because I bought it, it came out the same day, so that was like another big thing that happened this year, was the new 3DS came out, with, you know, basically on the same day as Majora's Mask. I stood in line, like there were a couple of amiibos released that day too. I stood in line for some amiibos and tried to get the 3DS Majora's Mask version, but I didn't get it. But I remember I bought, because I buy most, like, probably like 90% of my 3DS games digitally. It's because you can get them earlier. But I downloaded, I downloaded Majora's Mask at 11 o'clock so I could play it. And I played it on my old 3DS with the Circle Pad Pro with the two joysticks. And that was pretty cool, you know. But I don't think there's much of a graphical change between the two of them. It's just, yeah, the nub just helps you do the camera stuff easier, you know.
And the 3D is better if you want to use the 3D.
Yeah, the 3D is more stable because of the head tracking and all that. But like that, it doesn't use like the extra buttons or anything like that, you know. And the only two games that you can only play with that is Xenoblade Chronicles 3D and Binding of Isaac.
What?
You know?
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, that's all you got for that. Which is kind of weird for, like, that's all you got for this year. But I don't know. They don't want to, like, make it to where, like, nobody can play it, you know? And then there it's like, I don't know. I don't know how much they sold of Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, but I don't think it was a whole lot. But who knows? But
number five was also a re-release, kind of, but not really. And I'm kind of ashamed to say I haven't played too far into it, but Earthbound Beginnings.
That game is hard.
I think it's so hard, but I'm still so happy. When I think about it, it just makes me smile that Nintendo finally took the risk. And not only did they release it, in its original form, what it would have been, they didn't dumb it down, they didn't make it easier.
Sure.
But they released it for $5.
Yeah.
Because that's how much a Nintendo game costs on virtual consoles. So I think those things weren't a list in the top five because there's so many other games that we hope that will eventually show up here.
Yeah.
Mother 2 being one of them, of course, but
sure.
Or I'm sorry, Mother 3.
Mother 3, yeah. Yeah, I'm still thinking that maybe that one will come around next year. I don't know. It would be nice. I mean, I have my girlfriend bought a like, because people are just making versions of it. Like, she bought it on a translated Game Boy Advance cartridge of it. And I played through that. I think I mentioned it on the first podcast that we did. But yeah, it'd be cool to have it, to be able to have it on the system. Be real nice. But I don't know.
Well, it might be nice to have some, it sounds like it's probably pretty tough. It might benefit from save states, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, everything benefits with save states, I think. It makes things a lot more manageable. That's another thing, that can make some things a lot easier to do through Virtual Console. It's just the ability to save state, We're like some games that were much harder as a kid. It's like not as bad now.
Yeah. So yeah, I had to include that because it kind of took us all by surprise, and it seemed like it should have happened so long ago, but then it happened this year, and a lot of people just didn't think it would, So
sure.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. What, 21 years late? Something like that.
Yeah, wasn't that announced? Didn't they announce that during the Nintendo World Champions? World Championship, right? Which was awesome. I wanted to mention that. That was like a really cool thing this year. Did you watch all of that? Or any of it?
I didn't.
Oh. Watch the last few rounds of it. Like when they get down to the... I don't know. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. Because like that last half hour of it is like super intense. Like they do where like it's like who can get through like the first level of Zelda the quickest, or like who can get out of the end of Super Metroid like the quickest, and like there's all these really, really cool stuff in there. Oh, there's like balloon fights, one of them, like who gets the most points in balloon fight. But then at the very, very end of it, they give you like three Super Mario Maker levels that nobody's seen ever, that the Treehouse made, which you can actually unlock on the game. I don't know if you found those or not. They're in Super Mario Maker. You can unlock, yeah. If you play through all of the levels in the 10 Mario Challenge, they're in there. But,
yeah,
but yeah, like that last like 30 minutes of it, it's like super like on the edge of your seat, like awesome. Like I recommend you to watch it if you haven't seen it. Like I thought it was really cool, but they had a little video thing in there with the guy who made the game talking about Earthbound, and they're like, oh yeah, it's out right now. Like one of those things. And I think that was when that was announced. But yeah, that was really cool, like that Mother 1, which I had only played like through like ROMs and emulators and stuff like that. But it's nice that they actually put it on there, and it wasn't super hyped up like for the translation and all that.
No, it was $5.
Yeah. And it's, it's hard. Like, it's really hard. Like, I still return to it to try to, like, get through it, but it's rough. It's a rough game. It's hard to get through. But I don't know. I feel like it doesn't give you a whole lot of experience points for everybody that you beat also. It's like, you defeated this guy. Here's 1 point. It's like, oh, okay. I feel like it's one of those games where you have to grind a lot on it. But I think I got to, like, the second, like, I mean, to like the second town or whatever. But it's yeah, it's a rough game, but very cool. I'm glad that it's on there, and it definitely deserves a mention, right? On the
it
four,
definitely does.
Another thing that we haven't mentioned but should be mentioned is the Mario Kart DLC from this year. It was awesome. That was the wasn't quite a game, but still, that was a fantastic edition, and that was only like $10, right? I think it was like $11 if you bought both of them.
Yeah, you get what, 8 extra levels?
Didn't you get? I thought you got more than that. I thought you no, you did get 8. Yeah, because it's 16 total. Yeah, so if you got both of them, you got 16 levels, and what, 4 new characters, right? 3 new characters, because the original one had Tanuki Mario, Link, and. Who's the third one? Was that Cat Peach? Was the first one?
Yeah, Cat Peach.
Yeah, because the next one was like Isabelle and Villager and Bone Bowser, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, so you got like 3 characters. You got some new. You got like some new rides. I think you got at least like 3 new cars with it. And you got like 8 new races. It was a total 16, and they like put some F-Zero stuff in there, which was awesome. You got 2 F-Zero levels. So, yeah.
Yeah, that DLC was solid. It made me happy I had that game. That's one of the reasons I bought my Wii U, was for Mario Kart 8. So
Mario Kart 8 is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I think it's probably still like my favorite Wii game, like overall. It's probably that or like Mario 3D World. Because those ones are like ones you can always return to, and they're still fun, you know.
But, yeah, Mario 3D World is a special, special game.
It's great.
It's probably the best game on the system. I feel that way still.
Have you gotten the extra levels yet? Like the very final set of levels on that?
I don't think so. I think I just got to like the first tier of the extra levels.
Oh, okay. Because we did that. Like Conan and I, we played it 2-player, and we went through and got like all the badges and all the stars and all that. And those last levels are insane. Like so insanely hard. Like whenever we hang out again, I could show them to you. But they're like, yeah, we can do it. There's like one that's like, it's like one of those time things where you get all the stars and there's like 30 stars, and if you die, you have to start at the beginning again. There's like one of those. Then there's like a Captain Toad level, and there's like another. Like yeah, there's like it's just like a few levels, but it's like the like hardest. It's along the line of that, like, no-death run that you had to do in Super Mario Galaxy 2. I don't know if you made it that far. Like, the very, very last star. Like, the very, very last start of that was that whole level where you had to get through without getting hit once. And it's...
Yeah.
I could never do it. Like, I got so close, but I could never do it.
I never did it.
I love that game, but I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it through that last part.
So we didn't mention, though, that... Since we talked last, they did release the original Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, I called it.
You did?
Yeah. Well, but Jess, she read that another way that the European people were doing better than us, they got Super Mario RPG on Christmas, and we got Super Mario Galaxy. I mean, I like Super Mario Galaxy, but... I mean, that's a big thing. That's the first Square... game, right? I mean, it's Nintendo Square, it's the game they made together, but that was the first one released on Virtual Console.
It's the first time that someone told me about a game, and I think I was in junior high at the time, but someone told me about a game, and I was like, you're shitting me.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's no way Square and
Nintendo made a game.
Making a Mario game, yeah. But there's no way it's going to be an RPG. That's one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. I've probably played through it all the way 10 times at least.
And I'm sure you found, like, Link and Samus and all the little... And, like, the guy from Final Fantasy and, like, all the extra stuff that's in there.
Oh, yeah.
Did you find... I'm sure you found... Like, what is it? There's, like, that shell... There's that shell armor that you get where you only lose 1 point no matter what happens to you. I remember that. I remember finding that later.
Yeah.
It's in the cloud level somewhere.
Yeah, you can get the armor... You get it as the armor and as the...
And there's a giant shell, too. But the armor's... I mean, the armor's the thing you use for everything, because no matter what hits you, you only lose 1 point. Which, like, sucked, because I remember, like, playing that Final Fantasy boss and, like, having, like, the fucking hardest time beating him. And then my friends were, like, playing through it at the same time. And I showed him where, like, that shell armor was, because I found out about it after I beat the game. And he, like, breezed through that Final Fantasy boss because he only lost one hit point from his moves. And I'm like, well, that sucks, man. I'm like, I wanted to see you get killed by that because it killed me so many times. And then you just went straight through it because you had that special armor.
Yep, the shell armor is, like, yeah, key to that game. Once you get that, you can do anything.
Yeah, I'd already completed the level when I found out about it. I read it in some magazine, like EGM or something like that. I remember.
But still, it's cool you beat the Final Fantasy boss without it. I think the first time I beat him, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the shell armor.
It was so, it was so fucking hard. Like, I remember play. I must have played him at least like 20 times, if not more. You know, it was a tough one. But yeah, maybe we'll get that one later. I don't know. This European stuff is so annoying. Like, I'm still can't believe they didn't release Xenoblade Chronicles here on Virtual Console. You know. It just seems like such a weird choice to not release it.
We'll get it eventually, and we'll be really happy when we do.
Yeah, but that's a good sign. That's a good sign that, you know, maybe Squares, maybe we'll get like Chrono Trigger and the Final Fantasy games and all that on there, which would be awesome.
Super Nintendo, which I thought they were going to do.
That's what I read, that they said they were done with it, but then they released another one. So hopefully I'm wrong. I want to be wrong on that, because there should always be more Super Nintendo stuff. And if they're not going to re-release Star Fox, the original one, they should do, like, some sort of remake of it, you know? I mean, they did the 3DS remake. It'd be nice to see a cool HD version of Star Fox. I don't know if there's some sort of contract thing with them and, like, FX. Wasn't it, like, a FX studio or whatever? A certain... Because I think the guys they worked with that, they aren't around anymore, right? For the first one, for the very first Star Fox game.
I'm not really sure.
I think whatever company that was, I think it was the same guys who did like Stun FX Racing and like those type of games, but I don't think they're around anymore. So there may be some sort of like contract with that, but I would really love to see that re-released as some HD version or something.
It would be really cool. Star Fox 64 already like revisited a lot of the stuff in the first Star Fox. So like,
yeah, but there's like weird, but there's weirder stuff in the Super Nintendo one though. You know, like, there's those ships but that you can shoot where, like, the aliens come out of them.
Of Star Fox 64, maybe.
Well, they did a remix of Star Fox 64, but you know, the Super Nintendo one is different still. Like, I don't want it to be, like, I want it to be, like, that graphics, like, the vector graphics, you know, that it was. Well, maybe not vector, but, you know, like, that, look like that, like the Mode 7 3D stuff that they use.
That was Polygon, my friend.
Well, Polygon, yeah, but some of the floors were sort of Mode 70, right? Kind of. Maybe not. I think like some of, like Venom, like some of the ones that were on the surface were sort of like that. But yeah, no, I mean, of course everything was all polygons. But I would like to see that, like the less, you know.
Just I love that game. I would love it. I would love to play it again on new hardware.
Yeah. When they released that WarioWare game for Wii, where it has the, you know, the smooth move one, it had that level in the 9 volt and 18 volt level. There's that boss level you could fly around with the controller, or for Star Fox, and I was like, oh, that's awesome! Like they need to make a game like this. Like they should have just released the whole game like that, you know, where it was that same Super Nintendo graphics but using the Wiimote, and I guess that's what Star Fox Zero was originally, and it came to that, but I don't know. Maybe it's unlockable in Star Fox Zero. That would be awesome. You could unlock the Super Nintendo game in there.
That would be
I think that would up the percentage of people buying it, right? If you threw that on there.
It would, especially if you could play it on the gamepad.
Sure, yeah, of course. I mean, I figured you would. They put it on. I mean, they don't really do that anymore ever since they started doing Virtual Console, but it'd be really cool if there was like some sort of Super Nintendo unlockable thing on there. I doubt that they would. If they were going to do it, they would have released it on Virtual Console, but I don't know. We can always hope. as we go into 2016, which has like a lot of releases on the horizon. I think the first big one is Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. I think that's in January. That'll be the first one around the corner.
Yep.
I've seen some like.
Do you think this is going to be the last year of Wii and 3DS? Do you think this is it?
I don't know. I'd be interested to see what they do, what they're doing with the with all those weird patents that've been coming or going around and all that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see. We will have to see and talk about it on here and all that. I don't know. I read some like random internet stuff about like the NX being shown at CES, just some game thing coming up. I read another thing saying that there's an almost finished Zelda Wii U video that might be a direct or something that's around the corner. So that'd be cool. I don't know. I read it off the Nintendo on the NBC thing, so you don't know what's on there. But yeah, some guy said that he found something that he thought was, you know, data mined, whatever, found some like video that said like first cut on it, which was some stuff from Zelda Wii U, but he didn't say what was on it, but he said that he found it and it looked like something that they were going to show at some point.
Cool.
So that would be awesome to see. I mean, I'm sure they're going to do more stuff about, you know, about Twilight Princess. So whenever that comes around, they'll show more of it, you know, I hope. I mean, it'd be a good move to do, like, fairly early in the year to, like, show more stuff of that, I think,
yeah.
You know.
But I think it's pretty fair to say that since we know Twilight Princess is happening, that the new Zelda is going to be holiday next year.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if it wasn't. Yeah, last year I thought I was going to get
around November 20th through 23rd or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, last year I thought I was going to get Zelda and Xenoblade at the same time, and that would just be too overwhelming, and I wouldn't know what to play. So maybe it's kind of better that I didn't get Zelda, because Xenoblade is so huge that it probably would have fallen under the shadow of Zelda. But I think, I don't know, yeah. I mean, that game's pretty popular, it seems like. That's like our most downloaded episode is our Xenoblade episode, so people like it. You know?
It's a great game.
Yeah. That's what I think. I hope it's sold well enough for the people who have Wii U's. And I think a lot of people picked up Wii U's like over the holiday when they were cheap for Black Friday, so hopefully people grab that game too.
Yeah. When I look at my play history on my Wii U, like, it was worth every penny. I got my Wii U for $200, refurbished. It came with Nintendo Land, you know.
Yeah.
I bought this like a year and a half ago, and I've put so much time into these games, you know. It's like you said earlier, like with the Nintendo 64. Like, there's not a lot of games, but the ones that come around are really good.
Sure, yeah. So, I got a...
Every penny that I spent on this system was worth it. I play it every day. I play my system every day. It's great.
Sure. Yeah. I got mine like around 2 years ago, I think. Like right. Yeah, I think exactly 2 years ago. About. Yeah. And I got. I mean, I got a pretty good deal. It was like a Black Friday thing that they still had after. Like, I think I bought it for like $3, but it came with. Didn't come with. No, it came with one game. It came with. Well, technically two. It came with Super Mario 3D. No, it came with Super Mario Wii, Super Mario U, and Super Luigi U is what it came with on one disc, is what I got. And I think I bought 3D World separately. So, but yeah, it was worth it for me for 2 years ago, and I still play the crap out of it, so. I hate to think of it like going down too soon, you know, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But, yeah, this is our last cast of the year, so. Happy New Year to all our listeners, and we'll be back next year to hopefully talk about more cool releases and whatever new news they have for you. So Happy New Year. We are your hosts. Signing off. This is Trey Johnson and
Jeremy Mikowski.
Happy New Year.